comes from Ecclesiastes 1, verses 12 to 14. That is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. You can find that on page 614 in your pew Bible or up on the screen. Here the teacher describes how futile chasing after knowledge is if God is not in the center of our lives. Unhappiness is bound to result. Listen now to God's word to you. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. Here ends the first reading.
To say that of the six mission trips to Italy that I've been a part of, this year's has by far been the best group that I have had. And it's not just because members of that group are present here today, but it truly was the most meaningful and hopefully the one that will have the most lasting effect on the region where we went. It was an extraordinary experience on so many different fronts, and throughout today's sermon, at least, hopefully I'll be able to touch on some of the things that we did and reasons for why we did certain things, and as well as being able to look at our scripture that we're going to see from James. Now, I need to be honest that I did get a little bit of a reputation during the trip of not always having the exact information on the sites that we would see. And as a result, I wouldn't always necessarily be 100% accurate as we traveled around. In fact, when we were on Vesuvius, Naomi and I got a little bit ahead of the group. There's the whole group up there on Vesuvius. And before that group picture, Naomi and I were just kind of waiting for the group, and we looked out down below the crater, and we just kind of came up with a story of this town called Olivaeum. There's no such thing, but we thought it would be neat to create a story, and so we shared that with the group as if it were the truth. And even as far as telling them about this mafia boss who did not allow Olivaeum to be unearthed, because if it were unearthed by the state, then the state could gather it, could take his property from him. It's a great story, and the group bought into it. They loved the story. It made for really, really good something to write home about. But I knew I was going to tell them the truth once we got on the bus, once we came down from Vesuvius. What I didn't take into account were all the other groups that were passing by us, taking notes and pictures and nodding and said, "Wow, yeah, I see it. I see the olive grove that's there, and I see where the city would have been covered up." So who knows, because of what we taught, Olivaeum may actually become a real site in history as time goes on. It does, though, make us realize that those whom we teach can potentially, and that which we teach can potentially have a lasting impact. And what James tells us today is not only can it have a lasting impact, whatever we teach, but it can also have an eternal impact on people as well. And that ought to raise the stakes tremendously on each one of us. When we go on mission trips, we go with the understanding that what we're doing should have an eternal impact on those with whom we come into contact. It isn't a vacation. It's really a vocation, a calling to put ourselves last and put the witness of Jesus Christ first in our words and in our actions. And the responsibility is on us, and at times that responsibility can weigh pretty heavily. But as a church, our primary responsibility is to teach the Word of God. And so if that's the case, then each one of us, in a certain fashion, each one of us is a teacher. And as James continues to remind us that this teaching has to take the form not of just words, but especially it has to take the form of action, of doing. But it's teaching nonetheless. So we're going to be back in James today, and when I get back, I'm going to be gone again. I'm heading to Alaska. This is the summer where Pastor Bob is not as present as he would like to be. I'm going for a three-day silent retreat in a monastery in Alaska. I know they have other places where you can do that, but I've never been to Alaska. I hear it's really nice. So I'm going to be there for a number of days, more than 3 days, and I'm not going to talk, and I'm not going to hear people talk for 3 days. Any of you ever do that before? You have. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to that, but I am looking forward to it, actually. And I'm going to be thinking a lot about James and thinking a lot about you as well during that time. We're back today in James, and we're going to finish James out, hopefully, before the summer is over. And what we find in just one verse in James today, it tells us about teachers. Those who teach will be held to a higher standard. May God help us all, for as members of this body of Jesus Christ, we are told we will all be held to a higher standard. Let's go ahead and read that one verse. James chapter 3, verse 1. The brother of our Savior, Jesus Christ, writes and he states, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters. For you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think one of the highlights of the trip for me is on the transatlantic flight, you have your own screen. So you can play games, you can watch TV, you can choose from a selection of about 50 movies. And I told the kids, you know, as you fly, you need to make sure you get as much sleep as possible. And there I am trying to squeeze 4 movies into one flight, and I didn't quite make it. But one movie that I did end up watching was a movie called Troy. I don't know if any of you had seen it, really violent and some other stuff that I didn't like so much. But there was one thing about the movie that stuck with me. It's about the fall of Troy, but it's really about Achilles, this incredible warrior in history who was loyal to no one except himself. And throughout the movie, you see how there's this one king who wants and almost demands that he be loyal to him, but Achilles continues and throughout the movie and states, "No, all I want is that my name will be written in history and forever as the greatest warrior of all time." So he's willing to fight in wars as long as those wars are going to be wars that will be retold throughout the ages. As long as he will then and his name will be lifted up as the one who was indeed the best fighter of all time. He was willing to fight for eternal recognition, but that was it. No loyalty to anyone. When we read our first scripture reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, it was a bit of a downer, wasn't it? You've heard that scripture before. All is vanity and a chasing after the wind. The author of Ecclesiastes is called Koheleth. Some people, in fact, the NRSV translate that as teacher, when in fact it should be the preacher is the name of the author. It's thought to be Solomon. And in this scripture that we read this morning, what he states is that as he looks around the world and as he looks around him, all of our striving, all of the work that we do is nothing but vanity. Why? Because it has no eternal meaning. And we went to the eternal city. Nothing, he states, that we do has an eternal impact. It's a bit of a cynical viewpoint, but I think of the places that we went and saw that have been around for thousands of years. As a group, we went and saw Pompeii. Amazing, amazing sight as we were able to see a place that had been there for thousands of years. And the people who were covered over by the lava. We did a night tour of the Pantheon. This was in Rome. Again, the longest standing religious structure, continually used religious structure in the world. We went and saw the Colosseum. We went and saw St. Peter's, and some people even took illegal photographs of the Sistine Chapel ceiling. I don't know who that was, but someone in the group did. It was a reverse selfie is what they called it. We saw other places that have been around for quite a few hundreds of years. St. Peter's as well. I don't know if we have any other after that of places that we saw. Yeah, the Pietà, which is what we brought home so that we could have a piece of that as well. All of these places which at their time and in their season served a purpose that people thought these are going to last forever. And their purposes are going to serve forever. Pompeii covered over. Colosseum, its only purpose basically is to bring in revenue to the Italian government. Nothing lasts forever. And none of the purposes for which they were built last forever. And then I thought of the work that we did in Vacation Bible School with the 50 or 60 kids that were present every single day for those 5 days. How many of those kids would be affected eternally? There's the group in the hallway as we began our time together. How many of them, through our teaching, would in any way remember what's the important thing in life? You know, it's not easy to get access to public schools in Italy, especially if you're a Protestant group hoping to do some work. And there's a justified skepticism. There's a justified hesitation on the part of the leaders to not allow a Protestant group come in and work with your kids. As we landed on Tuesday around noon and then took about a 3.5-hour bus ride from Rome to Naples, and the first thing we did was not nap. The first thing we did was go to the school and unload our stuff. And then when we had finished, we walked out of the school and we were heading back to the bus when a couple of stragglers in the back of our line were confronted by some young men. And these young men looked at them and said, "What are you doing here?" And they asked about 3 or 4 times. And we basically said, these two stragglers in the back said, "Well, we're here to work with the kids." And the young adults, the young men, just shook their head and said, "No, this place is dead." The school was on the right. On the left was a building completely hollowed out. Windows were gone. We called it a crack motel, and it could have been. It could have been. San Giovanni is, or at least was, considered a dead zone. And they told us as much. And so all of a sudden our focus became, let's give some life in this place, some life that won't just last for a week, some life that won't just provide smiles on the faces of kids for a short period of time, but hopefully life that will last in some kids' lives eternally. After the first day, the main teacher came up, and I think the next slide, you can see the guy who looks very skeptical looking down with his glasses. And this happens every mission trip. Usually it's a priest who comes up to me. This time it was the main teacher, came up to me and said, "You need to remember, you are not on a mission here. You are here to teach culture. You're here to teach about friendship and solidarity. You're here to teach about tolerance and peace and unity. You're not to impose your religious beliefs on our kids." And if it's a priest, then I can talk with him and explain how what we're doing, we're not competing. We're here to work together as partners, to help in any way that we can. But this year, I felt a little different. I looked over the curriculum that we had, and I thought, you know, we don't very directly challenge the kids to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I felt even more burdened. I felt almost challenged by the teacher that we need to do it in a much more deliberate way. And so whenever the teachers were taking a break, the teachers often would just go off in another classroom and smoke. I guess it's a public school. I guess you could do that. And whenever they did that, we saw that as an opportunity. Okay, we can talk to them about Christ. We can let them know. We can teach them something that would surely have an eternal impact rather than it's time to tell a song or some of the lessons that maybe were great Bible stories but didn't necessarily allow the kids to see how their personal relationship with Jesus was so crucial. It was then that we realized, I think, what our goal had to be. And James in our scripture teaches us so clearly that those of us who are placed in that role of teaching Jesus Christ, as we all were on that mission trip, we have to recognize that there's a responsibility that comes with that challenge. And he states clearly, not many of you should become teachers. Why not? Why shouldn't we become teachers? Well, apparently, in the first century, a preacher, someone who taught the Word of God, had a certain status. And people wanted that status. In fact, the word rabbi, who knows what the literal translation of the word rabbi is? It's not teacher, David, but what is it? Sorry, yes, I set you up on that one, yeah. Anyone have any idea what the literal translation of rabbi is? It means literally, my great one. Who wouldn't want that title, huh? That would be pretty cool. It means my great one. So there is a desire in the early church to be a teacher. So James is saying not many of you should be teachers. In fact, there was a first century writing that said if your rabbi were taken hostage and your parents were taken hostage and you only had certain amount of funds, you should allow the rabbi to be released and over time your parents, you can work on them a little later on. There's a certain hierarchy and the rabbi, the teacher, the preacher, Koheleth, that we read about here writing in Ecclesiastes was pretty high up there. The teacher was pretty important. We had an incredible experience in this little mountain village called Albanella. For me personally, it was a walk back almost into celebrity status. They greeted us like royalty. We were all shocked. I'd never experienced anything like that in the past. In fact, government officials of the town, for the first time in the 110 years of the history of that church, there they are. That's the vice mayor there in the tall guy, and then the tax collector next to him. For the first time in the 110-year history of that church, they came in an official capacity. They spoke to this small minority community of Protestants in this small mountain village. They were presented with books. And the community considered that, you know, it was because of these Americans who came and showed up. And then after the church service, we all went to a house that was just outside the confines of the village. And they had balloons that were out there for us. And they fed us. And then they fed us some more. And they kept feeding us. And we kept getting more food as a result of who we were. But there was this definite rush of recognition that these Americans in our midst were someone special. I mean, it could have gone to your head. They even took us to their weed forest. You can ask members of the group what that was like. Not a highlight of the trip, I have to admit. But it was an opportunity for all folks who were there to be able, all of us, to be able to have our egos stroked. In fact, they made us promise that if we come back in 4 years that we're going to do vacation Bible school there in that mountain village. How could we say no with the government leaders there and all the church members who were there as well. James said, "Not many should become teachers, because no profession is liable to beget spiritual and intellectual pride as much as this one." And yet we also recognize that each one of us is called to be a teacher of our Savior Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And so daily we have to ask ourselves the question of, is our vocation for the sake of the kingdom of God and passing on eternal truths for the ages to come? Or are we not all a little bit like Achilles, with maybe no real loyalty, not even to the King of Kings, but rather our loyalty is found so that our interests and our comforts can be realized, our own name can be recognized, our work a means to let our own desires be satisfied? James in chapter 1. James in verse 1 in chapter 3 is very direct. In fact, in the second part of the verse, if you look at that, he includes himself as one of the teachers. He says, "We who teach." He doesn't point the finger. He doesn't say, "You who teach." He says, "We who teach." So he doesn't ever want to be accused of hypocrisy and say, "Listen, you all have a problem. I'm okay." He says, "No, we have a problem. We need to deal with this issue." He tells us, "Church, we are all in this together. And this is serious business. It's not something you can turn on one day and then when you get back from the mission trip, you can turn it off again. It's not something where you can step in church and turn it on and then when you step out of church, you can turn it off again. No, teaching the love of Christ is something that has to be done as a vocation. And if what we teach is Christ crucified and raised from the dead, and our agenda slate is clean, then our judgment is going to be based on that. But when we begin to intermingle cultural agenda or personal agenda in our teaching, then we're going to be judged on that as well. Folks, each one of us is called to make a lasting impact on people. Each one of us is called to be not only disciples, but missionaries of Jesus Christ. And at the same time, we need to be aware that when we live out that calling, we're going to be judged more severely as a result. So I hope you continue, and we all continue to live out that calling. Don't let it scare you away. Don't let the words of James scare you away. No, he's not trying to distance people from their calling. He's just trying to raise the bar and allow us to recognize that as teachers, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as we go out into this world, when we leave this sanctuary, the responsibilities that we have are tremendous. And I pray and I hope that each one of us would embrace them, whether we go to Italy or whether we stay here in Strasbourg. The work is the same. The work is the same. May God bless us and keep us in the palm of His hand as we look to be teachers. Amen. Loving God, we do come before You this Sunday and we praise You for how You have called each one of us to be teachers. Raise us so that we can recognize what that means, the responsibility that comes with us, and the teaching that has to be a part of that as well. Help us to decrease, Lord, so that You can increase. And we pray all this in the loving name of Jesus our Savior. Amen.